Why? That one-word question can bring about so much information, which hopefully results in answers and understanding. My next guest with her new best-selling book sets out to answer, I think, a pretty heavy-duty why. Why would she defend serial killer John Wayne Gacy? While her book addresses her particular experience and decision, her story, at least I believe, hopefully you will too, will help you better understand the many other similar instances like hers that we see in courts at all levels when you think about it. And along the way, you'll also gain valuable lessons in overcoming challenges and obstacles that others try to create against you. Her book is Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer on Death Row. While being an attorney, she's also a host of a radio show on WGN Chicago Sundays, Karen Conte. How are you today, Karen?
I'm doing well, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for telling this story because, as I allude to in the introduction, it's not one of those sensationalistic, here's the thrill that I experience. You actually give valuable lessons through your book, and as well as understanding above and beyond the obvious. A couple of websites for you. We have them on our homepage, KarenConte.com, ContiDolanLaw.com, and you can follow Karen on X at KContiLaw. And again, you can find all those links at our homepage. Well, let us start with the basic as a foundation. How did this door open to this case? And probably more importantly, why did you decide, I'm going to walk through that door?
Well, first of all, Gacy's crimes were going on when I was quite young. I was in high school. And I was very aware of those crimes in the Chicago area. You couldn't grow up and not, be terrified by what he was doing. But now it's 14 years later. I'm gone to college. I've gone to law school. And I'm a very young, inexperienced lawyer. And my partner and I get the call to represent Gacy. And first, we just didn't really think about doing it. But I was curious. I am a very curious person, and I said to myself, I need to look evil in the eye. I want to meet this man who is a household word in Chicago, and I want to see what death row is like, and I'm not committed to doing anything. So we took the 6.5-hour trip south and went to the prison and met Gacy. And at that point, I decided that I wanted to represent him. I have always, always been against the death penalty. It hadn't been used in Illinois very often, and I thought this was a chance for me to stand up against something that I think is grossly unfair, even for the Gacys of the world. So I walked through that door kind of naively, I think, thinking that this was going to be difficult, but not as difficult as it turned out to be.
So this was really a case where you took the case for the cause more than for the client.
Yes, and when you represent somebody on death row, you are advocating not only for your client, of course you're trying to save his life, and I do want to say that. We weren't trying to get him out of prison. That was never the intention. It was just to get rid of the execution or stay the execution. But when you're making all of these arguments, you're really making them for everyone on death row, because once they start executing people, then the rest of them are going to follow. And the more that you get this out in the public and the more you make these issues known, the better for the cause. And so, yes, you're advocating for your client, but also the anti-capital punishment cause.
So I guess this answers the question pretty obviously, too. Gacy did not want to die. He wanted this to go forward. This wasn't one of those cases where an outside organization comes in and pushes their beliefs against what the inmate wants to have happen.
Yeah, and I talk about that phenomenon in my book, that some inmates, want to have the suicide by capital punishment. They want to waive all their appeals, and then you get some celebrity or Amnesty International coming in and advocating to keep someone alive. No, Gacy wanted to live. Gacy was a person who adapted to prison. He had a very methodical life there, and he actually told me that he did not want to get out of prison, that he preferred to stay in prison, not that he had the option at any point in time, but I think that he found his ordered life there much less stressful than the life that he had killing young men and boys for all the years that he did.
Now, this was not a solo effort on your part. You were a part of a team, and it's important to note for a variety of reasons. You were the only woman as a part of the team. Talk about the environment that you had to endure, tolerate. You can probably come up with better words than that, but maybe that's gives at least the reader a little insight about this. This was not a red carpet treatment.
No, I was the only lawyer Gacy had in the entire time he was on death row, which is kind of interesting. And in my book, I talk about, you know, I've been a lawyer for 37 years, and when I started out, lawyers, female lawyers really, you know, were still law school. They were coming out of law school at a 50-50 rate, but the attrition rate is great because women were just not treated well in the workplace, myself included. Again, that's not to whine about it, but it's really just my memoir of my life back then to be treated differently than men. And I think a lot of the adverse public backlash was aimed at me. And I don't know if it was because they thought I was a weak link because I was a female or because I was out doing some of the media commentary, maybe more than my people on my team. But a lot of the hatred and a lot of the death threats and a lot of the horrible mail was directed toward me. But again, I understand that. This is an unpopular cause. Gacy was a very unpopular man. He was not contrite. He was, making money on his paintings in prison, and he was hated. And people lash out at the lawyers for hated people, and I understand that. But I guess I had no idea how bad it was really going to be.
Karen Conte, her book Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, defending America's most evil serial killer on death row. KarenConte.com, ContiDolanLaw.com, on X at KConteLaw. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. What is it you need to have come to an understanding about a client like Gacy? He sounds like he's not going to hide much of anything, obviously, given what his situation was. But to do your job, what did you have to know about him and of him?
Well, Gacy was, by all appearances, normal. So, you know, you think that when you walk into death row and you meet somebody who killed 33 human beings, that he's going to somehow appear to be evil. But he wasn't. He didn't act that way. And so what you did realize, and you only realized that having read the materials about his psychological makeup, is that he's a sociopath. And when you're a sociopath, you really don't have a conscience. And everyone around you is a pawn in your world. So he was very manipulative. He would gather and garner information from me in order to get what he wanted. So knowing that and understanding that psychology, I was able to get around that by kind of manipulating him back. And when you're a lawyer and you're making these truly life and death decisions with your client, you need his cooperation, and you need him to understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. And Gacy was difficult in that he was oppositional and a little aggressive, not as much with me as he was with the other members of the team, so that I was sort of tasked with the communication process with him. I was able to get him to cooperate because he and I had a relationship that was a little softer and a little more congenial and say the other ones. But you know, you're making big decisions, so you've got to have cooperation. And I will tell you this, Chris, I've had clients who are less likable than John Gacy. You know, as strange as that sounds, he wasn't an unlikable person.
Well, obviously, to commit the crimes that they did, he had to be likable to draw the people in. I'm not going to go into details about what his methods were, but obviously, you know, the clown get up and that, and he would, as Karen just said, he was a master manipulator of very innocent and trusting people.
And also, when the police would come knocking at his door asking where this young man was who was last seen with him, he was always able to deflect it, and he did that because he was likable and was well-respected in the community.
Obviously, defense attorneys have a lot of weight cast on them, mainly through ignorance, not full understanding of what their priorities are, what their responsibilities are. What is it you hope people who read your book, whom a great number are going to come to it because of who it's referring to, John Wayne Gacy? We like the sensationalistic, but you, again, do it with substance more than sensationalism. So what is it you hope people come to respect about defense attorneys?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. My book is the draw, of course, is John Wayne Gacy. No one's going to buy the book or read it if it were just about me. But it really is, it puts, you know, I hope it puts people in my position, in my shoes, to understand what it's like to do your job. And what I want to convey to people is that I don't do justice as a defense lawyer. Neither does a prosecutor. But everybody in the system has a piece in this game, and that is the police have to do a really good job of gathering and preserving evidence. The prosecution has to be aggressive and bring charges and be good in court. Defense lawyers have to be zealous. The jurors have to be impartial. And the judge needs to be fair and do the right thing from a legal standpoint. So when all of these players do their jobs, justice will get done almost always. And, you know, and mistakes are made. And that's usually because one of the players, one or more of the players, is not doing a good job. And so I didn't feel like it was my job to do justice. It was my job to give him the best defense possible, along with the other capable members of the team. And we did. And Gacy was executed. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, justice was done. And so all I will tell you is that I know that he got the best defense possible.
Well, Karen does her the book, Killing Time, with John Wayne Gacy. She gives you the insights that only she can because of her experience. And through that experience of this case and many others and being of an analytical mind, here's my little tease. I didn't want to obviously discuss this, but the question becomes, do we know all about John Wayne Gacy's crimes? Well, Karen says maybe not. That's something you can explore as well. And you'll also realize, too, that when someone throws a hurdle in front of you, an obstacle in front of you, builds a wall in front of you, through determination, confidence, and being sure of yourself, you can break through those barriers as well, as Karen did in so many ways, in so many cases. The book, again, is Killing Time, with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer on Death Row. KarenConti.com, ContiDolanLaw.com, on X at KContiLaw. Karen, you told the story in a very serious and very educational way. Congratulations on doing that, and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I hope everyone enjoys my book.